Hi, welcome back to the tutorial series on Surface Hub development and UWP development to build great UWP apps for Surface Hub. In this tutorial, we're going to add camera support. So we're going to use the cameras that are either side of the hub to capture a preview of what the camera is seeing and then to use that to capture a picture. So we're going to select a camera for input because there's two cameras. We're going to show a preview of that camera feed. We're going to then capture a photo. And then as an exercise for the reader, we're going to leave it for you to save that photo. But you saw how we saved the stroke collection as a binary list of bytes or array of bytes for representing the strokes. Well, an image is a byte array too, of course. So if you can follow that original tutorial on ink, where we save the ink strokes, then I'm sure you'll work out how to save a photo too. So let's get started. Let's have a look at some code. And the first thing we're going to need to do in order to utilize the camera is we're going to need to change the manifest to support camera. So we need to remember we need to request permission of using the camera. Now often cameras come with microphones, and so you kind of by default when you do camera want to do microphone as well, because then that piece of hardware switches on. Now if you don't do that, then of course your code will compile and run, but it won't actually work, and you'll wonder why. So make sure you switch on webcam support and microphone support so that you can use the cameras on each side of the screen. Now, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to add a button into the job control. Now, in the last exercise or tutorial, we removed the need for this edit button, because this edit button really created that modal edit dialog that took up the whole screen and meant no one else could do any work. So we're going to change this button and get rid of it and make it a camera button, which makes sense, right? So I'm going to just change the tooltip, which is totally pointless at this point, because as you will have noticed, tooltips don't work in touch interfaces. And there's a reason for that, because a tooltip works when you hover your mouse. You don't click your mouse. When you hover your mouse over an icon. Of course, there's no concept of hover when you have a touchscreen. And we're going to use that same font again, but instead of edit, we'll use the camera icon that's embedded in there, which is 722, which of course everybody knows. I don't expect you to know that. It is just something that I happen to know. And we will change that to be a camera click method, which we're going to have to write, but it's just a little bit of code. So we've now got our new button, or our repurposed button that's bottom right, will now be there to take a picture. Now, where are we going to store that picture? Let's scroll up inside this XAML file, and let's put the picture just above the description text block. So it sits behind the text and it sits behind the ink. So let's add an image here, and we'll just call it photo. Why not? Because that's what it is. And so now we have our image ready to put something into, and we have the ability to capture an image, or we don't have the code yet, but we've got the interface to capture an image. What we also want to do is somehow preview the image, and the way we're going to do that is we're going to add a grid that contains a capture element in it that we will use to preview the video that's coming in. Now, where should we put that? Let's put that below. Let's go scrolly down here, below these ellipses. Let's put it in this grid just below the ellipses. So we'll create a new grid here, and we'll call it camera control, and we'll make it so that initially it's collapsed, so we can't see it initially because we don't want to see the preview of the video the whole time. We will put it in that first row so it fits over the top of the description area that we have been spending a lot of time investing in. We've put the ink canvas in here, we put the color selector ellipses in here, and we just put that photo in there. But over the top of that, we could start showing the preview, and we'll actually make it span across two rows, so it goes all the way down to the bottom of this control. So as I said, in here we're going to put a capture element, and a capture element can be used to preview the video that's coming in. Let's call it preview control, because that's what it's going to do. And we'll stretch it out so that it fills up, but in a uniform way, it fills up the space that it has available. And then we're going to add another button. And this button will be used to actually take the picture. So we'll put it at the bottom of the preview on the right-hand side. So on the bottom right of this preview, we will see a button appear. And that button can be used to take the picture itself. We'll use the same SIGO MDL2 assets font, and we will use the same E722, which is the camera. Remember to put a semicolon, otherwise it doesn't like it. And we will make it use the same camera click, camera click event handler. So now we've got a button that we can click while we're previewing, and that button will capture the image and we don't know what it's going to do yet. We've got to write that code. So let's go and write that code. So let's go to the job control CS file. And in this file, we're going to add some new member variables. We're going to add a media capture. Now, if you've used cameras in UWP or WinRT apps before, you may know that there's a capture UI that's kind of does a lot of the heavy lifting for you, but there's a major problem with that in a Surface Hub application, and that is that, again, it's modal, and we just spent the last tutorial getting rid of all the modal interfaces and interactions, so we certainly don't want to put one back. So we're going to use a media capture and do it at a slightly lower level and grab the input from the media capture to use in this tutorial. So we've got a couple of things here. We've got a little flag to say, are we previewing or not? And a display request to determine what level we're displaying. So let's go down and create a camera click event handler now, which we haven't done yet. So we will make a private async method so that we can use await methods, and we will call it camera. I think we called it camera click in the XAML, didn't we? And it will take some routed event args, which we will call E for the sake of consistency with everything else in our little world. So the first thing we want to do is know, are we previewing? Because if we're previewing, we have a different experience than if we're not previewing. Basically, what we're going to do is, if we are previewing, we'll capture the image and do something with it. And if we're not, we'll go to preview mode. So the first thing we're going to do if we are previewing is we will get that camera control. I'm sure we called it camera control. There it is. Camera control, which was the grid, and we'll set the visibility of that to be shown. No, that's not what I want to do. Equals visibility visible. That's better. Sometimes you rely so heavily on this auto-correct, auto-finish, auto-complete, auto-write my code for me, that you forget how to write code. Now we're going to use the low lag photo capture for preview. And low lag photo capture, as the name may suggest, captures the photo feed at high rate of frames in order to reduce the lag. So it actually looks like you're looking at something in real time that's coming from the cameras. And we're going to prepare a low lag photo capture async. Now this takes a whole bunch of parameters. It takes an image encoding, and that image okay, I clearly need a namespace here. Yep, there we go, media properties. So image encoding properties, we're going to create uncompressed in media pixel format, and we'll go for BGRA8. Thank you very much. Okay, so now we've got the ability to capture. Now remember, we'll come back to this, but that media capture object has not been initialized yet. We will need to do that. So a little bit of dangerous code there. We should probably have checked that it has been initialized before using it. But we're going to use the captured photo object. And we're going to capture a photo from this low lag capture object. We will call capture async. We are now capturing the input from that camera, and we will need to convert it into a software bitmap, because that's how bitmaps are, I guess. They are all software. Whatever kind of bitmap there is, I'm not sure. Again, I need another namespace here. There we go. So we've got software bitmap, and we're going to get that captured photo, get the frame out of it, and get the software bitmap out of the frame. And there we go. So now we've got a software bitmap to play with. Now we are going to need to convert that into the right format. So the first thing we need to do is say if the software bitmap pixel format, so if the bitmap pixel format is not equal to our bitmap pixel format that we expect, or the software bitmap alpha mode is just straight alpha, which is not necessarily what we want either, then we will convert it. So we will do software bitmap equals, there's all these great methods for converting. So we can convert our software bitmap that we have into a one that has the format that we want and has the alpha mode that we want, which is pre-multiplied. Okay, so now we have a bitmap in the format that makes sense to us for us to work with. What we need in order to put that in the picture, remember we had that photo object that we created, is we need a source. So let's create a software bitmap source, which again we probably need a namespace for, or I need to spell it correctly. There we go, imaging. And we will copy into that source the bits that we need from the software bitmap. So Oh, it doesn't like that software bitmap source still, huh? What doesn't it like? Let's just have a quick look. It's not getting it. Software bitmap source. But for some reason, it won't let me... Oh, I know why. Because I'm an idiot. Need to be a new one. Okay. Source set bitmap, source async, and we will copy it from the software bitmap. So now we're setting the source out of the software bitmap, and we've got a source object that we can use. And of course, once we've got a source object we can use, we can do photo.source equals source. And now we have the photo being set up with the camera image that we've just captured. Now we're just going to finish using that low lag capture object that we created earlier. We'll finish that because we don't need it anymore, and it's an expensive thing to keep hanging around. And the other thing we're going to do is we're going to clean up our camera resources. So this is a method we need to write, clean up camera async. And we are no longer previewing. Is previewing equals false? Because we've captured the image. Now I'm going to generate that method, and we'll come back to that in a minute. Because that's where we need to make sure we're not holding on to any resources. Now, this is if we were previewing. If we're not previewing, we want to move into a preview mode, right? So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to set that camera control, whoops, did that last time, dot visibility equals visible, which makes me realize that I think I did it wrong the previous time. Yep, we need it to be collapsed the first time because we've finished previewing. Now we want to make it visible. And then we're going to try and set up that media capture object. So let's use a bit of exception handling, first time for everything. And actually what we'll do is we will check for an unauthorized exception, because that will happen if we haven't ticked those boxes that I showed you how to tick at the beginning. We'll also capture any other exception just in case something else goes wrong, and we can easily deal with that. We might just debug, whoops, not that, just use diagnostics at the moment to write line out saying that media capture init failed, and then we can put the exception information in there as well just in case it helps us. And then here we could do the same, except here we can actually say the app was denied access to the camera, which gives us a bit of a clue if we forgot to tick those boxes, so it's probably worth doing that. Anyway, let's set up that media capture now. So we'll create a new media capture, equals new media capture. And then we will await for that media capture to initialize. This is a lot of async code in here, but that makes sense because cameras kind of operate in the background. Now our preview control, we're going to set that. Remember, that's what we're actually looking at, is going to equal the media capture. So the source for the preview control will be the media capture. And then we'll tell the media capture to start previewing. So now we're previewing that. We could set is previewing to true, because it is true, which is great. Now we're going to set that display request. Remember, we created a display request. We're going to request that we're active now. So we keep the display active while we're previewing the camera, and we'll set the display information. Again, probably need a new namespace here. And we'll set the auto rotation preferences to landscape, which makes very little difference probably on a hub. I doubt you're going to want to rotate that, but something to think about if you want your app to work across multiple platforms. So remember I said we'd come back to this cleanup camera because we don't want to leave stuff lying around. So the first thing we want to do is if null not equal to media capture, we want to clean it up and make sure it is null. So if we're previewing, that's interesting, we should make that async. If we're previewing, we will await the media capture to stop previewing. And then once it's done that, well, we've got a few too many brackets in here. Once it's done that, we will await the dispatcher to run a little method on the main UI thread. Now, normal priority, that's fine. And then we'll create a little action method to handle this. So in this action method, we will set the preview control, the source, to null so that we stop previewing the media viewer input. And if the display request is not equal to null, we'll clean that up too. So we'll release it, display request dot release. So now we're not blocking anything or holding on to the display. And then finally, once we've done all of that, we want to release the media capture so we can dispose it so that we're behaving nicely and set it to null. So people won't try and use it when it's not set up. Now, at the moment, we are really using the one camera or the other camera, but how do we know which camera to use? So this is a bit of a challenge. So if we go back to the job control XAML file and have a look at the camera here, we could add a tag here to say, let's use the right camera. And that would be just a little bit of information to say, hey, this is the button that's on the right-hand side, so let's use the right camera. And then when we create that camera, we can set it up in the code to use the right, in the try block where we create this media capture object, we can initialize that based on some settings determining which camera to use. So let's set up media capture initialization settings. Nice short name. Media init settings equals a new one of those. And then let's get some device information. Device information collection. And we can query the machine for the devices that are here based on the hardware that it sees available. So a device information find all async, and we'll specify a device class of video capture. Does that make sense? I think so. So now we're capturing, just bring that down a line so we can see what we're doing here. So now we're capturing or grabbing all the devices that are media capture devices. And then we're going to just quickly walk through them and find out if it's easy to tell whether one of them is in the right or the left of the device. And the way we do that is there's a thing called enclosure location. And the enclosure location is a property of the device. Look at that. How easy is that? And then we can say if the sender is a button, and this is where it gets a little bit clunky, but the button sender tag to string is equal to the location panel to string. So we made right. So what we're saying is if the location, the enclosure location, is the same as the tag of our button, i.e. right, then this is the camera we want to use. So we will say media init setting, the media initialization setting that we created earlier, dot video device ID equals device.id. That's the one we want, and we can get out of here. So now we're out of that for loop, and we've got the camera we want. Then when we initialize the device, we initialize it with that setting. Now we've got the right camera. What about using the left camera? So what about we get rid of this progress button, because that doesn't really make sense anymore either. Remember that progress button was really designed for moving things between columns. You move from to do to work in progress and from work in progress to done. Well, now you just drag and drop things. So we could get rid of that button and replace it with another button that looks like a camera on the left-hand side. Let's say left. Let's horizontal align left. And it will camera click 2. And let's get rid of that progress button. Okay, that's a bunch of code we've written. And hopefully, it'll all compile and we'll be able to run it up on the hub. And from there, we can see utilization of either of the cameras. So let's just compile that and deploy it to the hub. So there's our app, and as expected, nothing has been saved, and I can now create a new job. And you can see this job has replaced the icons with two camera icons. And if everything went according to plan, I'm now using the left camera and I can take a picture, or I can use the right camera and I can take a picture using the right camera. And let's just capture that. So now we can use either of the two cameras. And I could create another job, and let's just move this job over here and preview the right camera, and let's preview the left camera. Ah, now we have a problem. So this is something to be aware of, that we're previewing one camera and we're trying to preview the other camera. And if you look at my code screen, you can see now that we have actually crashed because we've run out of bandwidth. And this is a problem. So the hardware, and this is something for you to know about, the hardware doesn't cope with previewing both cameras at the same time. Now, there is a way to fix this, and this is because you're previewing two very high resolution camera feeds. And there's only so much bus speed that the Surface Hub can cope with. So one of the ways of fixing this is to, where we just created the settings, the media initialize settings, to determine which camera to use, we can at the same point determine to run at a slightly lower resolution. So here we are going to set the media setting streaming capture mode to equal capture mode video, of course. I don't really care about the audio. And we are going to set the photo capture source to equal video preview. So now we've got it coming in as a preview. The next thing I want to do is I want to change the resolutions. So after we've initialized that media capture, before I start using it, I'm going to set up some resolutions here. So the resolutions equals the media capture and it's the video device controller, and we'll get all the available media stream properties out of this. And the ones we really care about are the photo media stream properties. And actually at this point, this line's going to get very long, but I'm going to select on that so that I can essentially query this for the media stream property that has the lowest encoding rate. So we're going to do as video encoding properties. So I now have this list of resolutions. And what I want to do is get the minimum resolution that I can possibly get, because if I lower the resolution, I know I will probably have the bandwidth I need in order to collect a preview from each of the cameras. And if the preview isn't super high band, isn't super high resolution, it's not a big deal. It's as long as it captures in high resolution, I'm okay with that. So I'm going to look at the height and the width of this feed, of this potential feed, and I'm going to get the first or default that I can get when I order by height and feed. And then what I want to do is set that media capture device to use the video device controller using that resolution. So I'm going to set the media stream properties async, and I'm going to set the video capture, video preview, at the minimum resolution. Seems like a bit of work, and it is a bit of work, but once we get that up and running, we should now be able to capture a preview at a low resolution from each of the two cameras. And we'll just deploy that. And so we can simultaneously capture from each of the two cameras. And here we go. And we've got our objects here. So if we go for the right camera here, and we go for the left camera here, we now have simultaneous capture from the two cameras at a low resolution. And then when I capture the image, I'm capturing at a higher resolution. I'm making it a little smaller, so you're kind of losing out on that. But when I capture the image, you're capturing at a lower resolution. So there you go. We've have gone through capturing the video feeds out of the Surface Hub cameras. We've managed to get both cameras working at the same time, which is great. And we're adding those pictures to our jobs in the Contoso Jobs application. Now, it may well be that you want to do other things with cameras, and I'm sure you do. In some ways, this is a bit of a contrived example so that we can carry on the tutorial and keep using it. As an exercise for you, as an exercise for the reader, I'm going to leave it for you to do the save photo. You've got the photo as a software bitmap now, so you should be able to capture that and save it into the job file if you wanted to capture it and use it between instances of the application. Here's a couple of references for you. There's the media capture object that we just spent a bunch of time using, and that's really useful to understand if you're going to use cameras on Surface Hub, because everything you do should be through this and not through the default modal dialogues. And then the device information object, which is also very useful to interrogate what the device is capable of doing. And we actually may come back to this later. So in a later tutorial, we're going to look at NFC and want to interrogate to see what proximity devices are available as well. So we're getting there now. We're starting to get through our list of things we wanted to do to the original UWP application. We've added drag and drop. We've added direct manipulation to the objects on the screen. We added inking in the third tutorial. In the last tutorial, we removed all the modality so that our application now can have these objects that you literally just pick up and move around on the screen, which is kind of cool. And in this last tutorial, we just added camera support. So you can capture the camera image, the camera feed from either of the two cameras or both the cameras at the same time if you want. So I hope you enjoyed this, and I hope you join us for the next tutorial where we're going to talk about how to use OneDrive to store the data in the cloud. Thank you very much.